Well, good evening, everybody. Don't worry about that. Let's just open in prayer, and then we can commence with our study for tonight. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this place where we can gather and pray. We can be under the ministry of the Word. Dear Lord, we ask that you help us to be settled in our hearts and in our minds now, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, we ask that in everything that is said and done, the Lord Jesus Christ will be honoured. Be with me as I give the message. Help me to be focused not on self, but on thee. And again, we ask that the Lord Jesus be glorified. We ask these things in his most precious name. Amen. Go through some technical issues. Right. Well, thank you for coming out tonight. It's raining. Yeah, it's wonderful. And hopefully I can get a few barrels with some more water in it. We talk about things like that here in the city. Really, it's not all that crucial for us if we have our barrels run dry. But when talking about missionaries, people out in the bush, and other remote places, when your barrels run dry, it's a serious matter. And sometimes it's a life and death matter. So we, here in the city, we're sort of protected from a lot of that, those problems. But I want to just help us to keep in mind tonight when we're praying for missionaries and some of the principles that we're putting forward are not just for missionaries. We could be also applying the same criteria to our own pastors. So just keep that in mind as we go along. But we're praying for missionaries. That's our focus. And I'm thankful to Pastor Fisher for letting me get up and have this opportunity to talk to you about this subject. Our theme is praying in a meaningful way for those in the Lord's service. If there's a key text, it would be this from 1 Thessalonians 5:25. And I hope you can all remember this. You've got to put your thinking caps on. It says, "Brethren, pray for us." Do you think you can remember that? And that was a plea from the Apostle Paul. He couldn't have said it more succinctly. But it has a lot of meaning behind it. And it is a very potent cry. It's a very potent request. "Brethren, pray for us." And if there's anyone who knew the value of prayer and of being upheld in prayer, it was the Apostle Paul. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Let's go to some passages of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. You might think this is a strange verse for praying for missionaries, but bear with me. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." See, we're dealing with people. We're praying for people, real people. And they are not just a body. They're not just a mind, an emotion, and a will. They are spirit as well. We are created in the image of God. And this verse reminds us that when we are praying for people, whether it be our pastors, whether it be missionaries or friends, contacts, we are praying for people who are made in the image of God. Romans chapter 15, verses 30 to 32, and I'll read from the scriptures here. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. There were specific prayer points that Paul had and presented to the various churches. He says, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Paul's awareness of the need for prayer for himself was very strong. And he also prayed for his churches. We can go through most of the epistles and we can see that he is praying for those people, whether they be people who are an encouragement or people who are a burden. Okay. Paul prayed for them. So let's talk about some of the people that we would be praying for. And I'm not going to name names, but I can think of a missionary family in Papua New Guinea, 1978. I was there. And they were living on a compound. There were other missionary families in the Western Highlands of Papua New Guinea. This was something like 43 years ago. And they received a scare when an old man, an old PNG man with dementia in Pidgin, he was known as a Sing Sing man, because in their demented state, they would often start to sing and chant and stomp around. Walked onto the compound and came up to the missionary's 5-year-old daughter and pointed a fully charged arrow at her. Now, that's not the man, but that gives you a good picture of what was being aimed at this girl's head. Thankfully, the situation was diffused and the girl was safe. Yet it was another reminder to the missionaries that they needed the Lord's protection every day. In a situation like that, if something was to go wrong, accidents, whether it be sometimes minor, sometimes serious, these people were far away from the medical help. Here, we take all that for granted. It's get on the phone, 000, and generally we're complaining if the ambulance isn't there in half an hour. Okay? This same group of missionaries had to deal with a situation, and this isn't on my notes, but it's just come to my mind, where they were making an airstrip, okay? And they had tractors with equipment, hydraulic equipment, and there was a new tractor that they were dealing with, and they weren't totally familiar with all the hydraulics and everything that was going on. And they had the two men had their own boys sitting on the tractor with them, and one of the men shifted a lever and the boy's hand was in the position where it was caught by the moving arms, and he lost a couple of fingers. the only way into that compound, into that valley, was by aeroplane. It was far away from even the Highlands Highway. And so they have to deal with situations like that. They have to be prepared for situations like that. And this is why they need to be upheld by prayer every day. Another missionary. In more recent times, one that we know, Dave Crow, was on the highway. I don't know which one it was. But as you have seen pictures of the roads, you can't travel very fast on those roads. In fact, often you get bogged and you need people to pull you out. And he was driving along the road one day, and he came around the corner and found there was a tree across the road. All right, it was put there deliberately. And as soon as he had to stop. And as soon as he did, out from the bush came all these rascals. And we understand now that that term is not, oh, you little rascal. These guys are murderers. They are bandits. They are thieves. They are criminals. And they came out from hiding and approached the car with their guns. And while trying to deal with these men, and also Dave would take the opportunity to share the gospel with them. One of them pointed his gun at Dave's daughter. I don't know which one. But she was sitting in the back seat. These are situations where anything could happen. And it's only by the grace of God that missionaries, their wives, their children are spared from these situations. Either of these incidents, and many more that could be mentioned, could have ended in tragedy were it not for the restraining hand of God. It would have been easy for the missionaries to have said, I've had enough, I'm going home. And yet they stay and continue the work of the ministry, testifying to the prayers of the saints around the world, bring them before the Lord in prayer. But it's not just protection from bandits and the physical harm, accidents, that missionaries need prayer for. There's the continual loneliness, the difficult climate, a foreign culture, sickness, spiritual and moral temptations, getting on with other workers, the frustration of not having the tools or the resources that are so readily available here in order for them to do their work. All these are areas of the missionary's life and service that they encounter almost every day. The Apostle Paul encountered many similar problems and more. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 through to 22 through to 28, he says, now he's having to deal with his authority being challenged. Okay? So he's bringing his credentials before the Corinthians yet again. And he's dealing with those who are behind the scenes challenging Paul's authority. Are they Hebrews? Paul says, so am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? And he says, I speak as a fool. I am more, in labours more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, all those things, he's saying, besides all that, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. He carried a heavy burden, both in his heart, but also in his body. I think he would have had quite a few scars on him by the time he'd finished all that. And it's important for us to pray for our missionaries. Not just, you know, Lord bless the missionaries. But there are various areas that we can pray specifically for. And we'll go through some of them now. There's the physical and the emotional needs. This is the area that usually gets most of the attention when we pray. And to a certain degree, there are some missionaries who focus on this area too. But it's got to be beyond, you know, God bless our missionary in Timbuktu. We see from the quote in 2 Corinthians that Paul was weary. He suffered pain, hunger, thirst, cold. And we can go through all that list that we see and that we saw in 2 Corinthians. He had a constant problem with his eyes. And we read in Galatians chapter 4 that the Galatians knew about that. And if they could have, they would have done something about it to help him. Praying for a missionary's physical needs is legitimate because those needs are real and they can have a definite influence on the effectiveness of the missionary's ability to serve. Needs such as sufficient financial support. Obviously, if the money runs out, they can't function any further. They've got to buy food. And sometimes they have to buy food not just for that week or for the fortnight, it's for the month or even longer. Going to the corner store or your local Woolies or Coles is not an option. And if you have seen any of my previous presentations, you know how remote some of those people are where they are serving the Lord. They need accommodation. And sometimes in remote areas, it might only be what the locals have when they're not used to that. And when I say what the locals have, it could be just a grass hut. Where all sorts of vermin and, you know, snakes and all those sorts of things can get in. Remember, they're raising children. They're thinking about their kids. So when we look at some missionaries who might build a wooden house when everybody else is living in grass huts, just be a bit sympathetic for them because they're making huge transitions. There's the need for education for their children. And this, particularly in the past, has brought about some huge wrenches emotionally, because the only possibility for many missionaries in the past has been to send the children to a boarding school. And when I was on the mission field in New Guinea in 1978, visiting for about 4 weeks, that was the situation. There was no homeschooling in those days. Today, there is the homeschooling that is available, and there's multiple programs that can be used. However, and there's also the internet. However, that's another load upon generally the missionary wife, apart from all the other things she's got to do. And we'll talk about family relationships a little bit later, but those things can be a strain on family relationships. There's the health. You know, they are in areas where, and we might touch on this a little bit again later on, but they are in areas where there are disease that we're not used to here. There's malaria. We don't know what that is here in Sydney. Dengue fever, you know. And it's all through a mosquito bite. And those areas can often be absolutely covered in mosquitoes. So we need to uphold. And it's not just those things that they would be expecting. There's the other sicknesses that come along. Things that can very quickly mean that they have to leave the field. One of the missionary pastors, an American in Fiji, had to go back permanently because his wife was reacting to something that they were encountering, and they didn't really know what it was. And she wasn't able to sleep. And she'd be going for 24, 36 hours, even longer some at one stage, without sleep. So he just had to put her on a plane and send her home. And for a long time, there was treatment going on back in the States. And when she came back, they tried to do everything to get rid of mold, anything that would cause a reaction, but it didn't work. And so eventually they had to give up and leave the field. So when we are praying for our missionaries, we need to pray for their health. When we're praying for our pastors, we need to pray for their health. That can be a very heavy burden in the load that they have to carry in teaching, in evangelizing, and all the other requirements and responsibilities that go with being on the field. And loneliness is a big issue. Some missionaries may be isolated in a remote location, learning a new culture and language, so everything's foreign to them. And they are treated as, by the locals, as, you know, what planet have you come from? You're weird. And everything they do, they look at, they watch you. You're constantly under scrutiny. And that can be hard to take. Being separated from family and friends can be a big burden to carry, especially for the missionary wife who may spend most of her time at home. We talked about homeschooling or running the house, okay, dealing with or conducting women's ministries with people whose culture and language is just so different to yours. And we've come across some missionary wives who are just aching for some fellowship from people that she can relate to. Sometimes it's a little bit easier for the man, he's out and about. Okay, but often it's the missionary wife that's at home constantly. Loneliness can be an issue with the children as well. And I remember a story from Joe Linton. He told us, I can't remember if it was his eldest son or what, but for those who don't know who Joe Linton is, we supported him for many, many years. He's with the Lord now, so is Eileen, his wife. But Joe had an Italian background, served in World War II, came back, cut a long story short, he was saved, and he got very, very fired up about reaching people for Christ. And eventually, the Lord led him to go back to Italy and take Eileen and their three boys. All of them who had grown up in Australia. Okay, all of them were Aussie boys. And he takes them to Verona, which is way up in the north. And they had to go to school, an Italian school. And you imagine what that means as far as, you know, having to make it new friends and that sort of thing. And Joe would talk to this boy. Sorry, I can't remember who it was. But he would say, how are you going at school? Have you made any friends? And one day that he said, yes, I have made a friend. And I talk to this friend every day. Joe said, I'd like to come and meet your friend. Because what Joe's got in mind is he's looking for an inn so he can start sharing the gospel. But he got a surprise, because where his son took him was to a shop that was on the way to the school, and out in front of that school was a monkey in a cage. Out in front of that shop was a monkey in a cage. And that was his friend. You can imagine, you know, how hard that would have hit Joe. This boy longing to have friendship, but he can't have it with anybody he can't speak with. He doesn't know the language, so he's very lonely. Loneliness can affect children as well. With learning the new language and culture, often comes a new climate, as we talked about a little bit. While life on a tropical island may seem wonderful, it comes with disease and physical labour that may be foreign to the missionary. Who was really keen yesterday about getting out and doing lots of physical work? I'm sure nobody would have really wanted to do that unless it was underneath a hose. But that's what missionaries have to face. They can't say, oh, I'm not going out today. Because every day is almost like that. And worse with the humidity. While a missionary should not spend all of his time just trying to live, it's often true that many environments require a lot of time just to survive in order to do the basics. When you get frustrated standing in a line here for 20 minutes, think about the missionaries that we support and pray for. Sometimes they would wish they could be in a line that only lasts for 20 minutes. We don't understand what a high-density population is. I mean, we're here in Sydney, but we really don't know what that means. We don't know what it means to be always under scrutiny, always under somebody's eye. Okay? We can take off to the bush and, you know, be alone and get out into nature and that sort of thing. But there are many missionaries who can't do that. We need to pray for ministry. Pray that God's word would be effective. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2, Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. The idea behind this phrase, free course, that Paul uses, is that God's word would be able to travel freely, not have any obstacles, not have any hindrances, and accomplish its purpose. And this purpose can be hindered when people are spiritually blinded to what God is trying to teach. So pray for missionaries that they will be able to communicate the message of the Bible in a clear way so that people can understand it. God's word to be glorified. Now that's another prayer point. These are all prayer points. That God's word be glorified. One of the first steps towards gaining an understanding of the Bible is to respect it, to understand that it is the word of God. God's word can lose respect in the minds of the hearers if they start to doubt the truth of it. And remember, particularly when we're talking about fields where the gospel has not been before, the missionary is the Bible that they are reading. Now that's a principle that we need to keep in mind here too. Sometimes the only Bible that people read are you and me. One of the fastest ways for the Bible to come into disdain among the people listening to it being preached is for the missionary to do something that would tear down that respect for the Bible. They are constantly under pressure to be doing the right thing, not just before the Lord, but before the culture that they are dealing with. Pray that missionaries live right and show a true reverence for God, so that they will have a good testimony and an influence on the way people perceive the Bible. Missionaries must be in fellowship with God and a living knowledge of the Bible so that they can teach from a point of confidence and authority. Pray that missionaries will have a desire to study and learn from God's word. They need to have a passion to learn so that they can teach. If anybody's in my Greek course, remember, you've got to have a passion to learn. You're going to need it. They need to have a good prayer relationship with God. It is easy to get discouraged on the field and think that you're all alone. These are real issues that missionaries face. We can find ways of escaping that, of escaping the pressure, but the missionaries can't in many places and in many situations. With a healthy relationship with God, loneliness will have less of an impact. So loneliness is a real issue. Language and communication skills. Pray that your missionaries will be able to communicate well. They need to learn the language and the culture that is entwined in their words. Without good language skills, a missionary will struggle to communicate the Bible. Not every missionary will be a great orator in their new language, but you can pray that God will give them the skills they need to teach the Bible and not offend the listeners because of lack of cultural knowledge and language skills. I can remember when I was in Thailand with the team. We've talked about the new tribes team that went there. Pastor Matthews was on that team, so was I, so was Robin Everly, who was Robin Matthews in those days. And when it came to building, they said, Jeff, you can look after the fire. Okay, I wasn't terribly... they had me sized up pretty quickly. But my interest in languages began to take hold again. And I'd have my little notebook and I'd try and learn phrases from the people that we were working with. And then one time we went into Bangkok and I was... we were shopping, okay? I was in a department store and I'm trying to ask to buy a pair of trousers in Thai. I'm trying to use the Thai language. And the men who were serving had just had another foreigner who was extremely rude. He was extremely rude to them. And he would be in the fitting room and something didn't fit, so he'd throw the trousers at them. Okay. And then after it was my turn and I'm trying to ask for trousers and size and that sort of thing in Thai, and the shop assistant looked at me and went, get English. In other words, get someone who could speak English to this guy. Okay. They were basically fed up with foreigners at that stage. But I can tell you that when you can say something to somebody from another culture in their language, it breaks the ice. And it's important for missionaries to be able to speak the language of the people. I've shaken my head with absolute... disgust when I've encountered or heard of missionaries who have been on the field for 20 years or more and they've managed to get away without learning the language. They find little areas that are English speaking and they concentrate on that without bothering to try and reach out to the people that they are or should be reaching out to. And to do that, you've got to learn the language. And it can be a struggle. It can be difficult. So we need to pray for missionaries in relation to that. Pray for an effective ministry. Writing to the Ephesians from his imprisonment in Rome, Paul requests, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, he says, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Yeah, he was in chains, or handcuffs, or manacles around the legs. I don't know exactly what. And in some situations, he was often chained to a Roman soldier. So that Roman soldier was his target. Okay, and that guy couldn't get away. He couldn't say, "Look, I'll talk to you later." He had to stay there. So I'm sure if anyone got the gospel in that prison, it was the guard that he was chained to. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that should be a prayer for our pastors and a prayer for ourselves, that we are prepared to share the gospel when the opportunity comes. God is the one who grants the harvest. Some fields will yield a great harvest of souls and churches planted, while others are barren but in need of the gospel. Wherever God calls the missionary, pray that they will be faithful and effective in communicating God's word. Another area is relationships with family. Pray that missionary couples will cultivate their relationship with one another. Pray that missionary mums and dads will love, respect, and emotionally lift up their children. Relationship within the missionary's family is a great example to the people they serve. The way a missionary treats his wife will be observed. And remember, often the walls of the house that they are living in are very thin. And as I said before, they are under scrutiny constantly. And so the way that they relate to one another is of vital importance. We need to pray for that. The relationship within the missionary family is a great example to the people they serve, or it can be used to destroy any type of spiritual work or progress that the missionary is trying to make. Relationships with the country. Many countries welcome missionaries, but not all do. In fact, you may be praying for missionaries who are always in danger of losing their ability to minister. You know, in other words, the threat of their visa being withdrawn is constantly there. They may have been allowed into the country, and one of the reasons for that is visas generate income for the government. They may have been allowed in the country, but the officials are looking for any reason to send the missionary home. Many times, government paperwork is interpreted differently by each person who picks that document up. A missionary can be told one set of rules: go home, fill out the papers according to those rules, and then find that when he takes those documents back the very next day, he's dealing with someone else who gives a different interpretation to those rules. That can be extremely frustrating. I think we're starting to experience that with our own bureaucracies here. But it's multiplied many times on the field. Because you're the foreigner, you see, and there's no anti-discrimination laws in a lot of these countries. And so you are treated as a foreigner and you are a target. Political and economic situations can change at any moment. Also, government bureaucracy in many poor countries can be corrupt. Simple applications may take weeks, even months, because the people responsible for processing the papers want some cash. How many times have we been aware of missionaries who have had to come back home because their visa has expired? They've tried to organise for someone that they thought they could trust to present them the documents, all filled out, the money paid, put in that agent's hands, only to find months and months and months go by and there's no word. And to discover that the person who was supposed to be operating on their behalf has taken the money and run. There's also on the other side of the desk as well. You know, things don't happen as fast as you want. And when you go back and try and find out, you discover that, things can happen really quickly if you're paid. Not the government, but that person. There is a lot of corruption that goes on around the world in bureaucratic circles. Pray that the missionary will be able to stay in the country to perform the task God has called him to, and that he will do so with integrity, not falling into that gap or that pit of bribing, and have patience with difficult bureaucracy. I've seen on two occasions, one in the Philippines, one in India. The one in the Philippines was the first one, and I was absolutely shocked. I was on a bus going through Manila, and all of a sudden the police got on board, two officers. They didn't accost the driver. They went for the conductor, and they took him off the bus, and they hauled him away. And the bus was sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, people started complaining, so the bus driver had to go. Eventually, the conductor, who must have been through this situation a few times, was able to run across, you know, some alleys and back streets and whatever, and he eventually caught up with the bus. So that's how quick the bus was. And got on board. That is, after he'd paid the police officer some cash. Okay, out of his conductor's bag. That's the sort of stuff that goes on. We go, what? You know, that's an absolute shock and horror to us here. But it's everyday life over there. In India, I was on a bus. We'd been to the tsunami orphanage. In children's home and down in the south of India, and we were coming back to Trivandrum. It was late at night. I'm sitting up the front next to the driver, and we come through a police checkpoint, and the driver is pulled over. It's night, the lights are shining, the police officer comes around and he starts to walk around in front of the bus to go around to the driver, and then he suddenly looked and saw me. And he turned around, walked back to the side and waved the bus on. Okay? The same situation would have occurred if a foreigner had not been there. Because he didn't want it to be known what was going on. That's the sort of things that missionaries encounter. Relationships with other missionaries. It's sad to say, but many missionaries leave the field because of interpersonal relationships, problems, with other missionaries. Even if they don't leave and come home, their ministry is limited because they can't get along with others. What kind of testimony does that show to the people that they are ministering to? This is an area where we all have struggles at one time or another, dealing with someone who is difficult to get along with in the workplace. Pray that God would help the missionaries to work well with their missionary brothers and sisters and the people that they have been called to serve. The spiritual battle. Protection from satanic attack. And here we see that Paul had this experience as well. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Read just about any missionary autobiography or biography, and sooner or later you're going to come across that, where they have encountered satanic attacks. They are trying to deal with situations, and they're just meeting brick walls. And then through the prayers of the saints back home, maybe they're on the field as well, all of a sudden the whole thing just lifts. We've talked about the situation in Fiji, where when we were on Operation Fiji and we were trying to get the building approved, and the local inspector that was assigned to the project was just being difficult, difficult, difficult all the time. And so there was prayer about this. And God provided a way for him to get out of the way, because he won a competition, and the prize for that competition was a trip back to India. Okay? And he was out of the scene for 2 weeks. So we were able to get on with the job. Who could have anticipated that sort of an answer? Okay? But this guy's opposition to Michael was very fierce. There was no way he wanted this church to go ahead. And yet God got him out of the way. It is real. This satanic opposition is real. And in sometimes the situation, the spiritual opposition can be felt. Think of the first two chapters of Job, where Satan comes before the Lord. There's a battle going on there for a soul. Or Paul's thwarted attempts to see the Thessalonians. We see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. But we, Paul says, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoured the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. So he encountered the opposition that was from a satanic source. We need to pray for the missionaries in relation to protection from wicked men. In 2 Thessalonians 3:2, it says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. While our warfare is with principalities and powers and not with people, many times the way the rulers of the darkness of this world operate is through people. Pray that the missionaries we support will be protected from the people who would seek to harm them, and spiritually, both spiritually and physically. Your missionaries are on the front lines of a spiritual battle. They need to be strengthened and held up through prayer. And then there's the physical, and we've already dealt with that. But let's go through in summary. The physical and the emotional needs. There's the financial support. There's the accommodation. There's the education of children. There's health. There's loneliness. We can pray for their ministry. Pray that God's word would be effective. Pray that God's word would be glorified. Pray for them as they try to deal with learning languages and communicating effectively with their people that they are dealing with. Pray for an effective ministry. We need to pray for relationships with family, with country, with other missionaries. And we also need to uphold them in the spiritual battle. Protection from satanic attack. Protection from wicked men. Paul finally says, brethren, pray for us. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of going through these matters that are important. And there are missionaries who would be listening to this and saying amen. And they covered our prayers. They need our prayers. And Lord, we have the privileged position of being able to support them, not just financially, not even just through communication and maybe writing letters. We've got Facebook, we've got all sorts of things that we can use these days. But we need to uphold them before the throne of grace. Father, help us to do that. Help us to do it effectively. And may we not let our missionaries down, but to support them and uphold them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.